Automotive manufacturers are forcing their dealers to utilize websites that actually don't work right for the consumer. We're going to dig deep into some fraudulent website stuff and some serious issues in today's episode. My name is Matt Koenig.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change.
We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories. All right. What's up, Rockstar Nation? I'm so stoked right now. We're having rockstar moments today with our friend Christian Jorn from Remora. And I got to tell you, you're in for a treat with what we're going to dig into today. It's a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about that a lot of web designing companies, web developers just won't tell you. So we're going to dig in deep on some stuff, and you're going to get to know the man, the myth, the legend, Christian Jorn. So think of this kind of like MTV Unplugged, VH1 Behind the Music. We're just going to talk about some really cool stuff. But a couple things before I bring Christian on, I want to make sure to bring up to everybody. Number one, Remora, Christian's company, they are super generous. And they're going to be giving away two tickets to the upcoming Rockstar Unconference, May 13th and 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is pretty exciting. So a couple things here. Number one, share this live stream. Share this live stream out, because we're randomly going to pick two people to give tickets away to. And this is 2 days, Las Vegas. You're going to see amazing speakers over these 2 days, including Christian Jorn. Not only are you going to hear some speakers that are going to teach you some things, but you're going to be able to sit down at Rockstar Roundtables and actually rub elbows with these people that are six and seven figure earners, people that can actually help you get your dealership from where it is to where you've always wanted it. But you can't win if you're not watching or you don't share. So make sure you share this out, and we're going to announce one of the winners on the show and one of the winners after the show. Why? Because if you're watching it afterwards, we want you to share it too. Thanks for sharing, Chris Spear. Also, by the way, you'll notice it says, be sure to get notified. Click the button that says get notified. That way, next time we go live, you will know that it's worth tuning in. Now, without further ado, let me bring on... Oh, by the way, when you share this out, use the hashtag Remora Rocks. You see it right there. Right there on your screen, right below that awesome-looking badge with a picture of the speakers, Remora Rocks. Make sure you do that. Hashtag Remora Rocks. That's how we're going to be able to look you up and make sure you actually shared it. So, without further ado, I want to bring on the man, the myth, the legend, Christian Jorn. What's up, brother?
Woohoo!
Welcome to the show.
Yeah!
Oh, dude. I'm excited to have you on here, man. This is going to be awesome stuff. But I know everybody saw, you know, hey, we're going to learn how to, you know, where your website's broken, all that stuff. But forget all the business for a minute. I want to know, and I know that other people want to know, who in the hell are you? Like, where did you come from? Tell us a little about, like, where you came from, where you grew up. Tell us about your life before being the website master you are now.
Sure. Well, we've been serving car dealers for 10 years. Before that, I was working at Santa Fe Ford as a centerpiece of that dealership. We took that store from about 75 cars, kind of sleepy out of town store, to a consistent 140, 150. They now sell occasionally over 200 in a month, and that's been consistent now for 10 years. So at that point, I had, at 10 years ago, when we were having all this success at Santa Fe in 2007 and 2008, when the whole industry is falling apart, it was too good to bottle up for one dealership. So, launched and got out there, and it turned out to be a lot harder than we thought to get off the ground. But we always had Santa Fe Ford as our laboratory and kind of used that to test and measure and all of that. Previous to the business, I was repairing electronics. So I had my own business repairing guitar amplifiers and PA equipment, keyboards and stuff. Real rock stars were my clients. and actually,
that's awesome.
Mostly tube amps. I'd say more than half of my work was tube amps that worked when they got to me. They just wanted to modify the tone. So they would want it to break up sooner or cleaner or that kind of stuff. And so I was doing a lot of modifications of tube amps and fixing keyboards and like PA equipment, power amps and stuff like that. And so I had a business doing that for about 5 years that was successful for me as a job, but kind of hit my ceiling as far as how much I could grow. And the business was really just that. It was a good job for me. But I got bored and I started like listening while I was working on my stuff. I was listening to a lot of persuasion and sales training and neurolinguistic programming and stuff like that. And I wanted like this place to practice, but I really didn't have that because I had kind of built myself into a hole of just repairing stuff. And so I actually responded to a blind ad. I got hired as a group hire to Gainesville Ford with 8 other people and went to the first day of training thinking that I was the only one hired, right? And get there and there's 8 people and it's training. And so it was like this great day of training, one full day, just great training. And at the end of the day, they're like, oh, by the way, this training's not free. It's $600. And so bring your $600 tomorrow morning. but if you bring your $600 tomorrow morning and complete the next 2 days of training, you're guaranteed to be hired as a salesperson here. And in 6 weeks, they're going to bonus you back. They just don't want to pay for training for the people who don't stay. I'm like, okay, well, fair enough. And everyone else did too. So it was a group, you know, they were doing that because the dealership was a cesspool and going out of business. And sure enough, 6 months after I was hired, they were out of business. 3 months after I was hired, I was working there and went and interviewed at Santa Fe Ford on my day off. And I came back my day off was Thursday. I show up Friday morning and just get fired like instantly.
Oh, God. So they heard you were interviewing somewhere else and fired you, right?
Hey, Joe needs to talk to you. I sit down, Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up? He said, well, we heard you interviewed at Santa Fe Ford. How'd you hear that? Doesn't matter. You're fired.
Oh, God. The joy of the car business. This is the stuff people don't know about what has happened in our industry, right? This is great. This is gold. So what'd you do?
I drove out to... I literally got out of my car from there, drove, you know, 40 minutes out to Santa Fe Ford or whatever. Just through grace or whatever, you have Greg Wake is the owner who I had interviewed with the day before, and his two main managers are walking in between the buildings. So, like, there's a used car lot and there's the new car lot. They're walking in between the buildings. And I just know that it would have been, like, impossible for me to get in front of Greg if I hadn't actually been able to physically get in front of him right there. So when I pull into Santa Fe Ford, I see the three of them walking in between the lot. And so I just pop out of my car and make him hire me. Say, this just happened. And I'm here now. I'm a salesman here now. And I'm bringing all this, you know, and he did.
Wait a minute. Before all this stuff, okay, so you repaired amps. You actually had real rock stars as clients.
That's right.
And then you answer an ad. You go pay for your own training to learn how to sell cars. And the same place fires you for considering another place. But before you take the next step, rewind time. When you were a kid, did you go, when I grow up, I want to be a car salesman because their reputations are so great? What did you want to be when you were a kid? What was like the thing that you were like, okay, when I'm a grown up, this is what I want to be?
I think I grew up to what I want to be. I'm nice. Happy with who I've become, honestly. I never intended this or planned on it. I've always just been kind of a high functioning, like Rain Man kind of dude. So I have extreme ease with some very complex things that most people have trouble with, and I have extreme trouble with some simple things that most people have no problems with. So I'm just a unique bird. I'm very, very rare and unique. I would say when I was a kid, I loved math. I was a competitive math leaguer. I won the state of Florida in math.
Holy cow, dude. Well, Chris Beard just commented, Christian could finish a Rubik's Cube in under a minute. And that's fact, by the way. I've seen them do this, people. This is awesome.
So, here, I have a big one here.
Yes.
This one. And
by the way, while Christian's got that ginormous Rubik's Cube, I just want to remind everybody, share this out. By sharing this, you have an opportunity to win one of two tickets from Remora to the upcoming Rockstar event. How many squares is that Rubik's Cube? So, I still can't finish a regular one, by the way, just so that we're clear.
The biggest I've finished so far is a 13 by 13. This is a 7 by 7. And this is the biggest one that I've solved, like, regularly. Because the 13 is just ridiculous how long it takes.
That looks ridiculous. But, all right, so now...
20 minutes. And so I'll solve this on the plane and stuff, and I bring them to shows and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Now, talk to us... Okay, so you forced
another
your way...
Another funny thing I do with these is I always...
You go ahead. Another thing you do with them is what?
I've solved these on the plane because it's a good thing for me to just like keep my mind occupied when I'm like stuck there, and so because people will see me solve these a lot on the plane, I'll carry an extra 4 or 5 3x3s, and on almost every flight I end up giving some kid a 3x3 Rubik's Cube, and they get all excited about it.
Dude, that's so awesome stuff.
And I'd like to give. I'll be giving away at the show too, for sure. So anybody who's interested in Rubik's Cube, you know, there's Rubik's Cubes waiting for you in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you're there. Remora Rubik's Cubes, dude. That's what you need. Is you need them with your logos printed all over them. That would be awesome. Now talk to me about.
It's those cubes are junk though. Is the problem. So I'd rather give somebody a good cube that's good quality than a junky cube with my name on it.
That makes perfect sense. And this actually goes into the stuff that we're digging into, because there's a lot of folks that produce products out there. They produce websites. They do stuff like that. But there's a difference between quality and just turning something out, right? So, Carrie, by the way, said, you need to teach me. I've never been able to solve one. Carrie, come see Christian at Rockstar, and you might walk away learning how to use a Rubik's Cube. And by the way, Carrie, all you have to do is share this and you got a chance, which you've already done, of winning a ticket. So let's go back to, you're at the dealership, you physically put yourself in there and you go, look, I work here now, I'm bringing my business, let's rock. What happened from there? What was the look on his face?
Well, I'll tell you, I was fortunate because the first thing that happened was that weekend was a weekend to remember for my whole life. I made such an impact that first weekend, it was ridiculous. So on Saturday, so this is like, I get fired Friday. And so I'm out there saying, hey, I'm showing up to work tomorrow here. I had all the customers that I had been working at Gainesville Ford. I had all their names and everything I brought with me. And and I just call every single person in my phone to let them know I'm at a new dealership. And so from those calls and deals I had previously been working, I sold two vehicles on Saturday from that. But then I upped a guy who was Scott Aiken, the owner of Aiken's Barbecue. And he was there with his daughter and I upped him, and he ends up buying his daughter, his 16-year-old daughter, a Lariat, top of the line, chromed out, just exactly what she wanted. And I laid him away for all of the money. I had to just to get more money in the deal. I got him to finance through because he was, of course, on the 0% deal, and so he buys for just full rip and finances through us. So we end up I end up making over $2,000 in my pocket between those three deals. And no one was doing that. This was like a dinosaur dealership where it was just like nobody even had a computer on their desk. No one.
And what year was this?
This would have been 2005 about.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right. And so I end up making a huge impact on the first day, end up working as a salesperson, and the internet manager is like a hunt and peck typer at this store. And just not – he's just not – He's uploading the vehicles to individually to the website and to Auto Trader and all this stuff. So I talked to, and I get noticed because I'm bringing in my laptop and making deals off of Craigslist. So I was actually calling people out of Craigslist that were trying to trade their vehicles. And that still works. But
that's a great technique, by the way, if you see folks trading.
I call them and say, hey, I'm interested in kickball. They'd start talking about it, and I'd say, well, hey, I'm interested in your vehicle because I'm calling from a dealership. I know I can sell it. I want it on my lot. It's truck country out here. It says right here in your ad that you're looking to trade somebody for a truck. We got a ton of trucks. Come on out. And, you know, I'd make an extra 4 or 5 deals a month off of doing that, and then that moved me to the top of the sales board on top of everything else. And so I wasn't winning because they had a old dog there, been there for 20 years, that wins every month, but I was number two. And so, like, I got noticed effectively from that. And then I said, Greg, you know, we can do better than this on the internet. And he did. He put me in the position. He put Tom on the floor. And so then I had that position. And I had that position for less than a month before the BDC manager is a 19-year-old girl. He's got 3 full-time girls that she's managing. Blows out of there and changes all the passwords, tries to, you know, screw the store on the way out the door. And he says, and I had just been to him saying, hey, Greg, I need assistance. You know, the internet can do 70 cars, but I can't deliver 70 cars and do all these other things. And so I need assistance. And so he's like, hey, it's your lucky day. You're the BDC manager now.
So you hadn't even asked about it. You hadn't spoken about it. Just all of a sudden, out of the blue, he decides, hey, you're the manager.
Well, I had been pestering him for assistance, to have assistance to work deals and schedule things and stuff like that. He was already running a BDC and was buying, you know, 18 or 20 grand of special finance leads from car.com and Blue Sky. So he already had this operation. And then when the manager blew out of there, he's like, oh, here's your assistance. You're the new manager. So I ended up being the turn and running that little boiler room for a couple of years, and then becoming I was buying cars and putting numbers on cars and becoming this like centerpiece of the dealership. He was really trying to groom me to be the man there. And so 2007, all of that stuff that was so juicy and good. I mean, that 18 or 20 grand of SpyFi leads, we were making 180 grand in gross. Because they were all juicy deals. But that disappeared like overnight. It went from you didn't even need to prove your income to get done to a 715 with a couple thousand down might need some more money down.
How did that affect your business? Because I mean, that was a big transition. So how did that affect you going from, you know, closing deals, making great profit, easy financing?
So what happened is Greg says, hey, this isn't working anymore. I said, you're right, it's not working. We can't continue to buy these leads. We stopped buying the leads. So now we've got basically a 600 or 700 lead a month gap that we were used to, that we had, you know, a whole operation to work. And not only that, we needed to find people that did have good credit and could finance a vehicle, because that was that became a super slim pie. And so I recognized and told Greg, we have to win or an organic search. That's how we're going to do it. And we did. So in the interim, we hired dealer.com thinking that would help. That didn't help. And it was such a, because they were the only ones who even had a sales process that made sense about the things that were important back then. I was the one who hired them. And after about 6 months, I call them and say, hey, where's all our link building and links that you're building? And she said, oh, we don't build links like that. You don't? Well, I've got a contract says that you do. And she said, oh, hold on. I gotta come back and say, we have a whole link building department that you didn't know about.
And she literally didn't even know about the department that they had. This is the website company that was handling all the stuff for the dealership.
There's no
holy
department.
Golden calf, Moses.
So basically, I show her and Greg. Here's these links. I've built all these links. This is me. These are the press releases that I sent out, and they're showing up on Yahoo Site Explorer. Where are theirs? There aren't any. They had no answer for that. So Greg fires dealer.com and says, you do it. So I do the website.
So this is how you become a website guy.
Yes, this is what happened. Yeah. So he says, you do it. You sure? Okay. You know, I'd taken some computer science classes in college, and I, tinkered around with it. He says, you do it. And it was so successful, it was absurd. We corrected the website. We made started ranking number one for the term used cars Gainesville and used cars Gainesville FL, which you know now it's much more splintered and it's more of a myriad of search and people are much better at searching than they were in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008. But back then, it was much more like there was some terms where if you weren't on that term, that's where all the traffic is. And these, and so we hit on those terms, and it was absurd how the business changed, how many more people we had coming in the dealership, and so I did that for about a year while Greg's trying to put me in the position, and then finally, ultimately, peacefully separated from that dealership, and still serve Santa Fe Ford's account.
Nice, that's very cool. Now, you just mentioned some pretty critical stuff with a website, right? Like link building and here's some services and then, oops, we didn't even know we had those services. What are, if you think about dealer websites today, because obviously there are a bunch of companies trying to compete in the space, what are like some common things that every time when you're looking at a website, you're like 90% sure these basic things are wrong and they shouldn't even be wrong because they're so easy to fix. What's common stuff that dealers are making mistakes with right now that they don't even know those mistakes are going on?
Well, the biggest is that there's any efficacy in the manufacturer program. That's the biggest mistake that dealers make.
Explain that a little more, would you?
Well, you know, the OEMs have a hard time growing their customer base of dealers because of protected market areas. So they can't just go run around setting up franchises willy-nilly as fast as they would like to, maybe, because they have protected areas. So when you look at the franchise system as the dealership is the customer of that franchisor, they look to the dealer as their customer. So they can only increase really by increasing their customer base, new dealers. That's very difficult because of protected market area. They can also increase their revenues by increasing the franchise fees. Also difficult, right? So they seem to have all turned to the dealers' advertising and marketing to increase their franchise fees, and have convinced them that these companies have efficacy when they don't, and they don't get paid. That's the key. That's really the key here, is that I've been through this with Mercedes, I've been through this with Toyota, and I've been through this with Hyundai now. And none of them will meet with a vendor unless they're willing to bid zero. So when the dealer is paying their $900 to their program website, it comes out of their parts department and goes to the manufacturer and does not go to the vendor. And so the vendor gets zero, and it's a paid sponsorship they pay for by serving all of that for free. So now. Then the vendor is forced to steal your customer data off of the website without the opt-in of the dealer or the customer and sell that data to Axiom, to DataTM Axiom. They do that. And then they also get kickback arrangements with Google that allow Google to push backfill junk shit inventory that they wouldn't even be able to sell otherwise. They push onto unsuspecting dealers through an OEM-approved vendor.
Wow. Wait. Explain. I told you guys. Those of you, I told you this shit was getting deep, by the way.
We exist as contrarian to that. We are.
Explain a little bit about what you guys do that makes Remora. Like, tell people a little about Remora and what makes you guys different than that. Because what you're talking about, hell, I didn't even know so much of that took place. And I've been in the business 25 years. I mean, I knew there were middlemen that negotiate OEM deals. And basically, you know, they're getting a piece. And that's the only way you get in and all that BS. But it's I didn't know half of the stuff.
A lot of zeros. A fraudulent deal with Google and a fraudulent deal with DataTM.
That's insane. So tell people a little more about Remora and what makes you guys different and why, knowing the space you're in and knowing all the competition that was out there, knowing the OEM deals, why are you in this space? Because that's hard to fight.
Honestly, so tell people. This whole situation creates a great opportunity for discerning dealers because no one has enterprise software. No one has enterprise expertise, and no one is competing with the classifieds.
Now explain for the folks that are watching that maybe they, you know, they're not familiar with what it means with enterprise software, and because they're just used to like, you know, eye level view. Explain what that means to folks.
Look at what's being peddled as program providers, WordPress as car dealer website. Okay, WordPress is a free blogging platform that's perfectly sufficient for Susie Soccer Mom to post the swim schedule. It is not sufficient for $200 million worth of inventory.
That's a common platform being utilized right now, a common CMS, right? I mean, there's more than one company that have moved to WordPress.
Yeah, and it's because of it's free, requires no development, and that fits into the zero-cost model. So they can't develop anything. They can only hype and advertise. So there's no development happening.
That's insane.
It's only how can we serve this for zero or the closest to zero so we lose the minimum. And a lot of these companies, I don't want to name any names, but a lot of these companies that sign up with these manufacturer program deals are quickly out of business and seeking buyers or become a hot potato.
That was my next question, is how are these companies, if they're doing that for zero or next to zero, how do they generate revenue? Is it via the upsells or via the ancillary products? Like, how can they generate revenue if they're getting an OEM deal where they go, all right, we do it for free for you as an OEM. How can they make it?
So one thing that I've noticed is that I get these independent used. And so in the independent used, some of the more discerning ones and the better ones will say things like, I take pride in that I do the things that the franchise guys do. And then, but then they back that up with it. That's why I use dealer.com. Right. And so,
and there are a lot of dealers
that's how, right. That's another way is that they can use that branding that they bought, right. That paid sponsorship that they bought to go sell independent used, sell other brands, sell other, you know, other dealers on that Ford says we're good. So we must be right. And so that goes a certain distance. Anyways, we've decided not to take any of those deals. We've decided to stay small and serve discerning dealers that you know care and that demand more than their fair share, that want to own their market, that aren't just like working for a paycheck. And so most of our customers are customers for life. We don't have a lot of turnover in customers. When they do turn, they typically come back in 3 or 4 months because it was only because of manufacturer pressure in the first place, or we got sold, you know, really hard. You know, these other companies buy the whole hype train. We don't. You know, we just sit here and provide real enterprise service, real enterprise results. We really crush AutoTrader. We really crush TrueCar and CarGurus, and it's real. And so our dealers that get that
show up in organic search so well. I mean, that's now. Do you guys you're not on like a WordPress or a CMS like that? Like you code it all from scratch?
Yes, we've written everything from scratch. It's a lightweight application that does one thing: car dealer website domination with inventory, with the inventory dominating. The car is the star. That is the, you know, that is should be the content that the dealers are focused on, not blogging, not content pages, the car, merchandising your inventory. And then what we are doing is we provide the technical underpinnings that basically take what's already happening, a naturally occurring process of the inventory turning over, the it being well merchandised, the content, that content changes. That content is also the content that your users engage with more than anywhere else on the website. And is basically something that we've built and developed in 2008 and has continued to work flawlessly, perfectly since. And in that time, of course, we've improved upon it and revised and written over and over and over again. So this last version of the software that we're currently on took over 2 years to develop at several million dollars. And it really has taken us from playing in the sandbox with these classifieds, your car gurus and auto trader, to dominating them. And so it's like the whole industry is changing right now. We're growing rapidly. It's really exciting. I've been working on this for 10 years. Our development team on this version has been working for more than 2 years. It came out of beta last October.
That's exciting, man. That's exciting. So talk to me about this, because you said something really critical that stood out to me, and I had to share it as a comment that everybody could see. You said the car is the star, and then you said that's what people are engaging with. Dealers shouldn't be focusing on content and blogging. And this is part of why, you know, we go, Chris and I, Chris, one of my best friends, my business partner in Rockstar, we go to every event out there, and we're going to see, like, what else can we learn, right? Because like Warren Buffett said, the more you learn, the more you earn. So we're always constantly trying to learn from people. And we keep going out and we keep hearing the same thing, right? Almost everybody in web development goes, well, what you need to focus on is creating content and blogging. And listen, I'm not saying that those things, I read blogs or I see whatever, but I always tend to feel like if you're a dealership, the only time I'm going to your website is to look for a car or service or parts or whatever.
Right.
So
there's a place
how
for
is it that people, you know, how is it that this website game went from, hey, let's sell cars and get people to come see our cars, to, hey, let's become writers and bloggers and content creators? Why the shift?
I think that it's more of a shift in awareness than a shift in reality. So there, it's more of that people now realize and understand that these types of pages have no value.
They
really haven't ever had much value. I have to tell dealers all the time when we're redirecting these types of pages to inventory list pages that people are actually using, they say, well, I paid $48,000 for that last year.
I'm in the wrong business.
I say, well, just because you paid $48,000 doesn't give it value, unfortunately. And so there's this, like, it's like you don't even want to believe that, right? Because
no.
I've been shelling and shelling and shelling. You're telling me that's not helping me. It isn't. And so it's like the Google is keenly aware of engagement and how people are engaging with your website, providing technical underpinnings that shows them that how that's happening, and even is guiding it somewhat. Is how we get the advantage, right? You're not trying to trick Google ever. Those days are long gone. Ever since Chrome became the spider, you can forget about any tricks, right? They're rendering the whole everything. So there's no hiding. They know. It used to be they're looking for engagement signals. Now the engagement signals are fed to them in real time.
Wow. Okay.
So
why did that narrative even begin then?
How
did that narrative of you've got to start blogging, how did that even come about?
I think because it's a very hard piece of deliverable. Like if you sell somebody a web page, it's $195 or whatever it is, right? And there's a deliverable there that like makes sense in the business world. Where the truth is, modern SEO is all about technology and software. So that's hard. It's hard to package that up into a deliverable, into a box, right? And so it's hard for us even. Like, it's hard to, that's one of the things we struggle against is this not quite understanding right where we fit in. I have to spend time like clarifying like that we're going to replace your website. SEO is not something that you can just lay on any website. Right.
Well, and I think misunderstanding a lot of folks have, right? Because there are companies out there that all they do is SEO. But they don't build websites. And I do hear people saying like, and all the terms like, hey, where can I hire a good SEO? And I'm like, do you know what those letters stand for? Like, this isn't a product you buy, right? Like, explain to people
there's a
why that doesn't work.
Right. Because you have no engagement on those pages. That's the critical problem. So and then the companies that are making those pages are often trying to cannibalize the traffic from the website. So they want to, they'll put like all kinds of banners and all kinds of stuff over there just to get any traffic to the site, because they know no traffic is going to come organically ever. That can't happen. And so the only thing that can happen is paid traffic that land is directed to land right on that page, and other traffic that they've cannibalized from there. And then, So basically, Google is seeing that in real time. They know what the users are doing. And what the users are doing, there's no reason to try to change what the users are doing, right? That'd be like trying to re-divert the river rather than just put your paddle in, you know?
Okay. When you explain it, then it all just kind of sounds common sense. And I'm like, why is it so hard? But then when I try and do it, I can't do it. So,
well, I think that... it's hard work making it look this easy. This has been my whole life for the last 15 years. So I could talk about it all day. And I'm passionate about it. I love it, right? Because I saw what happened at the dealership. I was there at Santa Fe Ford. And now I've seen over the years that be repeated dealership after dealership after dealership hundreds of times. It's great. Now I feel like, we've got this awesome team. We're doing all this cool new stuff. I'm not going to use this to announce it. Maybe I'll announce at the show. But we've got a new, awesome, industry-changing thing coming.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about it. I'm excited. Speaking of the show, let's shift gears for 1 minute, because you're going to be delivering a pretty exciting keynote at Rockstar. And this is one that I know is going to cause a lot of hubbub with all the old school folks in the industry, right? The folks that like, there's a lot of folks out there that like to, talk smack, goof on millennials, say, they're all in their mom's basement or whatever. So let's talk about your keynote is called Online Techniques to Attract Millennials. Now, if you believe the guys talking at all the other conferences out there, the millennials are all broken. All they do is play Xbox, which, by the way, I'll go on the record saying I don't believe, but why is it so important? Why is it so important that you're, with all the things you could talk about and all your expertise, that you've chosen to teach people the importance of focusing on millennials? Why?
Well, I have the opposite viewpoint of that for millennials. I'm actually extremely optimistic about that whole generation. I'm hiring them. I'm happy with them. They're amazing. I see millennials that are grown up way faster and way more grown up than when I was their age. They're making all the money too. So, they're the ones taking all these high dollar tech jobs, and they have money to spend. One of my developers just bought a brand new Audi. These are the guys that are the future it's inevitable that that's happening. And so it's negligent for dealers to ignore what is happening with millennials. And one of the things that is happening with millennials is they don't see paid ads ever. We're over 500 million mobile ad block downloads. There's more desktop ad block downloads. The professional class of younger people under 40 that make money do not see ads ever.
Yeah, let's talk ever. About that a little, because with everything out there now from streaming services like Hulu, CBS.com, they all offer you for just a couple bucks, you never see an ad. YouTube now has YouTube Red, where you can not see ads. The only place you can't avoid ads right now is Facebook.
That's right. That's right.
And every time I see one I don't like, I click on it, and then I say, I don't want to ever see ads from that person.
We train ourselves to go right to the content and ignore the ads anyway, right? And we know how users buy car, how people buy cars. We know they start their search on Google, and we know they finish on Google. They start their research phase with Google, and when they're ready to buy, they go back to Google. We know that. And so... now, Google might as well not have ads for millennials.
Now, that's funny, though, because Google's shifted so much to ads.
To crush and win. Like, it's everything now. And it's only getting more and more and more important as people see less and less and less ads. You know, not, you know, regardless, and then the people that are seeing ads, of course, they're seeing ads where your OEM is competing with you and where lead aggregators are competing with you. And so you have, you know, you, honestly, it's almost to the point for some markets and some spaces to, it would be more cost effective to buy the leads from AutoBuyTel than to run pay-per-click. Because you have your own OEM driving up the cost, and you're, and then you have lead aggregators filling in whatever space is left.
So fill me in on this, because there are companies, there are a lot of companies out there right now that I've seen a strategy a lot, which is it seems that a lot of ad agencies, their new strategy, I won't say new, but the thing that seems to be what dealers are biting on a lot these days is I'm going to run an ad, but instead of it going to inventory specific or something, I'm going to run an ad, but I'm going to build all these landing pages, right? Landing pages seem to be the thing. Now, if we step outside of automotive, people like Russell Brunson, like if you're running an ad for a restaurant, you get into a landing page, you're using ethical bait, right? Give me your email. Here's your gift card. I have companies that are clients that we do that for, added $400,000 in sales for a little restaurant in Kalamazoo last year. Nice. But I've never seen that effectively work for a car dealer personally. So talk to me about this whole new add to landing page strategy that dealers seem to do. And I'm also seeing it with dealers who go, well, I'm not going to go all in and do a Spanish website. I'm going to do a landing page in Spanish, which I'm like, whoa, now your languages are different. Is the landing page strategy okay? Or are dealers shooting themselves in the foot when they go with that model? Talk to that a little.
Well, it depends, is the truth. If the landing page has a good reason to exist, it should exist. If it's for SEO, nope.
Okay. Probably not. So what's a good reason? Like, what would be a good reason?
A good reason is you have an event coming up. Make a landing page that talks about that event. That page is on your site. You run a dedicated pay-per-click campaign, directs the traffic right to that. You've got a banner on your website that's promoting it to everybody who lands on your website to that page. Right.
So for SEO, this idea of a bazillion pages is not a good plan.
So we found better results landing paid and organic traffic on the actual list pages. So that way the user is actually engaged with your shopping interface from the very first click, so that when they land on the website, they're shopping the inventory that they were interested in.
Very cool.
And sometimes a landing page can kind of get in the way of that. Now, another good use of landing pages is for like special offers. With the dealers want to put like a lease special offer, what we do is we build a page for them, and this is all automated. It's all in. They really build it themselves, but they put the special offer in. It comes up, builds a beautiful landing page, pull in inventory, and then we associate the specials with the inventory that is appropriate.
So let's shift gears for a moment off of the how-to, and I want to touch base with you on something else, and that's this. What is the absolute worst? Because everybody's got a horror stories in their job, right? Things they've run across. What's like the worst disaster you have run across with a dealer's website that like the dealer didn't even maybe realize, and you got there and it was like, I'll give you a bad example for those. Like for me, the other day, I have a small site that literally is for a software platform that I own, and on WordPress. And I hadn't gone to the site in days, right? It's just passive income site. And I was like, I haven't seen anything come in from that in a couple of weeks. And I went, and it was infected with a malware redirect virus.
That's what
I was like, oh, it's redirecting me to some other crap site. So that was a bad thing for me. I'm like, oh my God, I got to have my eyes on every site every day at least once to know what's going on. What's the worst thing you've come across on a dealer's site that you all, like, were like, oh God, well, this is a disaster?
So I appreciate that question. But it really is a good way for me to clarify this. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is, because we come in and replace. We don't really work with their existing website. We just come in and replace their website with a ranking powerhouse that scientifically works every single time. So, but as far as the story goes, one that comes to mind is one time we signed up a dealer and we built their website, and we go to go live on the, it's a Chevy store, and we go live, and they said, well, where's the other one? I said, what other one? I said, well, we have two stores. I said, well, you only signed up for one. I never heard about this second store ever.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So their website was due to go down because they had canceled both websites with the previous provider. And so here we are. We're ready to launch the one website. We have absolutely nothing for the other one. We were able to scramble, pull some strings with the and get them up. So we got them up that same day. Anyway,
what's the worst thing you've seen? Like when you were, let's say, you were moving to take over, or you were going into, like, say, you know, sell a dealership on why they should do business with you. What's like the worst? Like where you've gone to like do a site audit and you went, holy crap! Like what's the worst thing you've run across there?
I used to use the PageSpeed Insights a lot, and I would pull that up. So sometimes we would get like a 0 or a 14 or something like that out of 100. So you know, there would be some pretty bad ones. But you know, essentially all of the program sites are effectively the same. They're all the lowest possible cost with the lowest possible cost support with no development and nothing that is a differentiator for your store. There's no going with the program does not. There's nothing you can do to differentiate yourself at that point. You are going to be no different than anyone else, and your search visibility is going to be poop. And so it's ridiculous, but you know, most of our clients keep a second program site because they have to. They consider it the manufacturer's recommended ransom, just part of the franchise fees.
Yeah, I've heard that before, right? Like regardless of like, we were down speaking to a Nissan dealer down in Texas, and this was a couple of years ago, about two years ago. Chris and I were in. We were chatting with the Nissan dealer, and that dealer actually said to us that Nissan, because they had built a secondary site, and maybe it's changed since 2 years ago, but that Nissan told them if they even built a secondary site, that Nissan, and we were there just to talk about Spanish, by the way, and he was like, no, even in English, he's like, I went with a different developer so we could, you know, have a better site. He goes, and Nissan told us if we didn't go back to using their site, they were going to hold all of our stair step money and everything else. Like they wouldn't give it to them if they went. And I'm like, wait, but it's that dealer's money. Like they didn't kill your dumb crummy site. They just built a better one to use. But you're telling them if they don't use your broken garbage site, you're not going to let them have their incentives and bonuses. And to hear that when I'm going, wait a minute. They're the reason you, as a manufacturer, the dealer's the only reason you sell cars to consumers, because you don't do it direct. So shouldn't you give the dealer a little more love as a manufacturer? It just shocked me to hear that.
It all circles right back to they don't view the dealer as their partner. They do not respect the dealership network. I can't think of a single OEM that I would say respects their dealership network and what they bring to the table, to the OEM. They view the dealership as their customer to be squoze in every way of every penny possible. I've heard Chevy store had their rep come in and tell, he said, look, how am I supposed to make money selling a new Chevrolet? And his own Chevrolet rep said, quit trying to make money on new. Said, quit, wow. Just don't. Well, wait a minute. That's ridiculous. That's not what a partner says. That's not what a partner says.
No, if you can't make money on the new car, why sell the new car?
Make money together. But that's not what happens. That's not what happens. Your manufacturer rep is a salesperson whose sales commission is directly tied to your adherence to the fraudulent OEM program. And discerning dealers across the country minimize that expense, view it as a franchise fee, put the program on the minimum package, and then use a premium us provider of premium enterprise services, and it instantly is a differentiator. And it's instantly, scientifically crushing Auto Trader and True Car and Car Gurus, which, you know, honestly, they couldn't do. They would not just that they couldn't do it, it would artificially increase their costs. They're serving everyone. So how are they going to provide any differentiator just with that business model? I had that same Chevy dealer tell me that. He said, well, what are you going to be? What is this program site going to do different than the other Chevy sites that you serve all over the place? And the answer was, you'll have a different rep.
You'll have a different rep. That was the logical answer.
Yes, that's what he was told. You'll have a different rep than the other guy, but the same site, same software, same everything, same.
Well, you mentioned a couple times in here about the ability to get ahead of the classifieds and crush them. And listen, a lot of people out there hate those, you know, the third parties. I'm not a hater of them. I think, you know, consumers go there.
Sure.
Yeah, consumers trust them. Yeah. But the ability to get ahead of them is critical, right? I mean, as a dealer, because we hear people saying, put your money into your website, put your money into it. And it's like, well, why would I do it if I can't get visible, right? Now, you're doing a roundtable, actually. And a lot of folks don't know this. But coming up in May at Rockstar, you're actually going to be sitting down. And for those who don't know, the Rockstar Roundtables, what they are is we've got some industry experts like Christian and some other folks. And Christian's going to be sitting down with groups of people for about 2.5-3 hours. And your focus of this is it's called Crush the Classifieds. What can people expect to learn? Because you've talked about that a little bit now, but what can they expect to learn? Because I've learned a lot in this, and I've known you for years now, but I've learned more than I've known about websites in one conversation. If people sit down with you, because we got about 10 minutes left in the show, if people are sitting down with you at Rockstar and those roundtables, what takeaways, or give us an idea of some of the, what are they going to take away from that and learn about crushing the classifieds?
Well, so certainly I'm going to show a step-by-step process of how to do it and how you can do it at your own dealership. I'm going to also talk about how you can break through some stuck ideas if you have turbulence getting this through. You know, there's a lot of things that dealers can do on their own, but the impact of that is highly limited without the proper technical underpinnings. The modern world doesn't sit around and wait for the OEMs to come along. And and they never have. I've been doing this for 10 years. I thought at some point they'd copy me. But the truth is that it's hard. It takes work. There's a lot to keep up with. Things change. And so you've got these titanic ships of, 8, 10, 12,000 sites hung on this platform that hasn't been up, the core hasn't been touched since the 90s. They've just got display layer on top of new display layer on top of new display layer. These behemoths are ridiculous. And so when something changes with schema or, we've got new advanced schema now, where Google's allowing us to pass like things like VIN and specific things about the vehicles. And so these things change. They're not equipped to change. And they have, and it's like even just the simple business fact of that my clients pay $4,000 a month and your clients pay nada, zero. How are you going to compete with me? It can't.
That's insane to think about.
It's just a matter of resources, too. You know, like these program providers can't provide anything. That's why the support goes overseas. As soon as the manufacturer deal happens, support goes overseas.
So tell people this. If we were to say, here's the top three reasons why Remora is better than your website company. Hit me with the top three reasons. And then as we get ready to wrap up, I want to. We're going to pick a winner for the one of the two tickets. We're going to pick both winners for the two tickets that you guys are giving away. But give people the top three reasons, and feel free to elaborate a little, top three reasons why Remora is better than their website company.
So, expert enterprise software, it's a lightweight custom application that does only one thing, car dealer website and crush the classifieds. The inventory list pages exist, which means that your off-make inventory gets leads. I'd say that's on the ground what we see happen for the dealerships right away, is that their Ford dealership, when they take a Hyundai in on trade, they're very nervous about it. They don't have the Hyundai customers coming in to their Ford dealership, and they're afraid they're going to keep it for too long and lose money on it. with the technology and the technical underpinnings in place, all of your inventory is ranking and outranking classifieds and outranking even other competitive makes. So oftentimes a Ford dealer's Hyundai inventory will beat Hyundai, the Hyundai site too. So what happens on the ground is that the off-make inventory disappears. Dealers have to change their business practices often because they're not used to selling that much used. They're not used to selling all the off-make stuff. So they maybe stop selling trades at auction, especially off-make stuff. They maybe start getting a little bit more aggressive buying cars, and even in some cases will start buying cars at auction. So we're different because, I'm from the business. I cut my teeth and became a man in the car business. It's where I became financially free. It's where I learned work ethic. And it's where I became a man. And so I don't have an angst towards car dealers. I think that if you have a program site, then your rep was a barista yesterday and probably hates car dealers.
That's my favorite thing in the world that you said. Here's one of the things that you, for those folks that didn't get on at the beginning and they missed it, as you were telling your story of coming through the car business, one of the things that's actually the first time that I learned that you were selling in the business and stuff before doing what you do now. And I got to tell you, it now explains a lot to me. And that's one of the great things that I now, one of the other things that I've come to love about you, man, is that you've walked in the shoes of those that you're trying to help. And I understand that, listen, people like to, I see it all over Facebook and it drives me nuts, where people say, well, if somebody hasn't done your job, they can't help you. And I'm like, well, Bill Belichick wasn't a quarterback either, but Tom Brady's got 6 rings. So I think that logic is skewed. However, when you've also had the experience, you do have some insight that other website companies just cannot offer. And I think a lot of dealers would appreciate that about you, because you can speak their language and understand the processes of the dealership. Once that consumer comes in and makes contact, you can actually help the dealer understand why the things on your site are the way that they are and how that transitions into a great consumer experience once their feet hit the pavement, or once that email comes across, or that text, or that phone call. And I don't think a lot of companies can offer that same expertise because they just don't have, they haven't been in it as long, and heck, they just don't have the experience that you have. So,
well, thank you for saying that. And I would point out that a lot of those things that I've experienced in the business over the last 10 years have been built out into business management software in the back end. So we've only been talking about the front end of the website and the organic rankings and the great conversions and the best, everything is the best, lightweight and perfect, the fastest to load and most reliable. But the back end has a suite of business management tools, including pricing tools, incentives, and all types of inventory tracking. We track the users on the site so that we can get a heat score on your inventory. One of the things that we provide is a way for you to view your inventory by how much action it's getting on the website. So you know if the vehicle's cold or hot, and maybe you take a skinny deal on the cold deal, but you don't take a skinny deal on the hot vehicle. That are just from my experience as the BDC guy and as the kind of a general manager position in the store of buying cars and stuff like that, towards the end, I'm even doing training and sales training with these guys. I really look back fondly on my time in the car business. It was a great period of my life. And I brought that same passion to this company, and now it's been 10 years. And now it's like, it's really a beautiful thing. I feel like kind of one of those old car guys that just doesn't have to work hard anymore.
You gotta love that feeling.
90% of our business comes from referrals, from these 20 groups that the dealers are involved in. They talk about us behind our back, and then we're getting phone calls. It's grown very naturally and organically. And one of the things that I love about it is that our customers, we have relationships with them all. They all feel like customers for life to me. And they treat us with respect. Where that's another reason I'm what really pushed against these OEM. I was just like, can't do it. I'm not going to serve everybody. I do believe that I was put on this earth for a reason. And I don't believe that that reason was to please everybody.
Amen to that. Well, listen, what is that old saying? You can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can never please all the people all the time. I've come to realize you can never please all of the people, not even some of the time. That saying was wrong.
Not for a second.
Let's do this. We're coming down to the last minute, man. First and foremost, thank you so much, man. You've been dropping knowledge bombs for the last hour on people that are literally, I know you guys just came back from spring break. You've been slammed with new business, and I have a feeling you're going to get slammed with more. So that's a good thing over the next few weeks. But let's do this. Before we give away the tickets, because Chris just messaged me, we've got some ticket winners here, and we're I know you guys are giving away two, and we're going to toss another one in the mix here as well. So we're going to give away three tickets. But before we do that, if someone says, hey, I want to talk to you more, Christian, I want to have you guys take a look at our site, see if we need to make a shift with you. How can they get a hold of you? What's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So I'm very available at scheduled conveniences. I am highly available. It just has to be scheduled. So my assistant is Tim Vandy, tim@remora.com. Gets in direct, he'll be happy to schedule. And then I also am happy to respond to emails and stuff for questions and stuff too. So my email is also simple. It's christian@remora.com.
Okay. So we've got tim@remora.com and christian@remora.com. So to contact you, they just reach out christian@remora.com and to set an appointment. I'm just going to pop this on the screen. Set an appointment with them. Reach out to tim@remora.com. Christian, listen, thank you so much for being on the show today with us, brother. We really appreciate you. So thank you for that. Thank you for everything that you're sharing with everybody. I know personally, I'm excited not only for your keynote at the upcoming Rockstar Unconference event, but I'm super stoked for the roundtable because I think this is a new thing that we're doing. I think those experiences where people get to sit down, learn from you, ask questions, and pick your brain are really going to help them take their business to a level it's never been ever before. So I'm excited about that. Now, Chris messaged me. We got a couple winners here. So I'm going to pull this up and go through them with you. So winner number one, drum roll, please. I was not a drummer. I'm a vocalist. The first winner is Shalea Strong. Shalea Strong, you've won. We'll make sure to message you on Facebook if you're not still watching live. Winner number two, that was even better. Now my daughter's chihuahua and a dog sitting is running over thinking I want to play. Winner number two is Melissa Skinner. And winner number three, Melissa Skinner down at McFadden Friendly Motors in South Haven, Michigan. Congratulations, Shalea and Melissa. And the bonus third winner, not yet, puppy. The bonus third winner is Mr. Brian Armstrong. Oh, it'll be nice to see Brian back at a Rockstar. We love Brian Armstrong. He actually was one of the speakers at our very first Rockstar event in Kalamazoo. So it's exciting to have him on here with us as well. Listen, thank you to Remora for providing some tickets here for these winners. Really appreciate everything that you guys do. We're excited to have you on board for May and look forward to doing a lot more with you. Thank you so much for being on the show today, brother. I hope you have a great rest of your day, man.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt.
Now, for those of you that are still watching, a couple things really quick I'll share with you. If you want to get tickets to the Rockstar Unconference event, if you're tired of the old school car dogs saying the same things that they've been saying for the last decade that isn't helping your dealership, if you're tired, worn out, exhausted, and burned out of all the old school crap in this industry, then guess what? Change the channel. You can do that right now. Go to rockstarinfo.com. It's right down on the bottom of the screen. Rockstarinfo.com. Go there right now. And there are tickets for $295. We've got a flash sale going on. Those $295 tickets actually also include two nights of hotel in Las Vegas, right there at the D Las Vegas. We're so excited to have that event there again. Looking forward to having you guys out there. Those hotel nights, Sunday night, the night before. So Sunday night and Monday night, two nights of hotel paid for, included with your ticket for $295. Go to rockstarinfo.com. Listen, no matter where you're at in your business or your life, you're just one moment away from where you want to be. Thanks again for tuning in, you guys.
My name is Matt Kamen.
And I'm Chris Spear.
And we're part of a new breed of sales and leadership professionals creating a movement
that you've probably never even heard of before.
We're waging war against 50 years of old school thinking through a radical movement filled with people just like you who want to lead the change.
We have to do things differently.
We have to do things smarter.
We have to do things better.
We are the Rockstar Movement.
And these are our stories.